Blog Talk Radio.
It appears that we have grown content and comfortable at watching the world go by from the shelters of our home. There was a time that communities were able to get together and stand strong. That neighbor would look out for a neighbor. A time when American values actually meant something. A time when all of the things that are happening now in this country would have been looked on with shame and disgust. And that the people of America would have stood up to it. Was that so long ago that we have forgotten what our country stands for? Was it so long ago that we can only look to it as if it were a dream? A false image? Something that cannot and could not have ever been? There was a time when being a man of your word meant something. And people judged you by your ability to stand for your beliefs and not to go back on your word because your word was who you were. And if a man did not have his word, he was no one you could trust. But I guess that was all too long ago. And we the people apparently do not care, because we the people are content at just letting the powers that be make all of our decisions, whether good or bad. I urge you to think long and hard about what I have just said, because the decision you make today is not so much for yourself as it is for the future of your children and your grandchildren. Let's give them an America they can be proud of, one that shows how much we love them and how much we love this great land called America. It doesn't take much common sense and logic. As a matter of fact, you don't need much of either of these to know that America is being attacked. Yes, it has been, and it is currently under a devastating financial attack. This attack has ripped apart the foundation of our once great nation, a nation called America. Our government, and more specifically our president, took an oath when accepting the responsibility of leading this country to protect the people of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. It is very apparent to me that these people have no interest in protecting the economic health of our country, America. It is crystal clear to me that the future of America is in the hands of God and the people of America who really care about our country. I call these people patriots, and yes, I am one of them, and I can tell you for sure that I am not a communist, nor a capitalist, nor a socialist, nor an imperialist. I am not a Democrat, I am not a Republican, and I am not a Tea Party. I only know one party. That party is called freedom. A God-given freedom. I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all that I know. We'll be right back after this musical message.
Clear creeks and cool mountain mornings, honest work out in the field, cornbread in my mama's kitchen, daddy's saying grace before the meal. Family ties run deep in this land, and I'm never very far from what I am. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodland, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. Moonlight, here beside me, crickets serenading in the yard. What more could two people ask for, laying here in love beneath the stars? Now this is where I want to raise my kids, just the way my mom and daddy did. I was born country, and that's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. That's what I'll always be. Like the rivers and the woodlands, wild and free. I got 100 years of down home running through my blood. I was born country, and this country's what I love. I was born country.
Welcome, everyone, to tonight's program on the Patriot Family Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining me this evening, everyone. It is great to be back after a very tedious summer, I might add. But today is Saturday, September 1st, 2012, and I guess that means that summer is almost, depending on what part of the country you live in, summer is just about gone. Up here where I live, you can pretty much say that it is slipping away very quickly. But it is great to be back here. I appreciate everybody that has stopped in. And I hope everyone is doing well. We're going to do sort of an impromptu show tonight, which means basically I do not have a whole lot written up. I have one small thing, which I'm going to share here in just a minute. And thank you, Linda. I appreciate that. I did write a little something up, but most of it is going to be just impromptu, and I will be taking callers after I do my little thing here, which I will tell you more about in just a second. Yola, it's good to have you back as well. You told me earlier that you were feeling well, and I sure hope that you are. And it is good to have you here, and I know you won't be staying long. You need to get your rest, but that's okay. I'm glad that everybody that stopped in did stop in here. So without further ado, I guess I need one more further ado. I would like to thank my sponsor, the Patriot Family, for allowing me this time on the radio network every Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. So if you would like to join me for some education, some fun, some frolic, you're welcome to call in. The whole kit and caboodle, we will do it all. And I will be your host here for the next 90 minutes, and we'll see if we can get a little bit of everything, of all of it, in the bag for you. But before I continue, I want to talk about something here. This is actually something that was written by someone else. Actually, it wasn't written. It was done by a comedian. But it has so much truth to it that I decided to write it down. And although I have changed the words, I added some of my own words, but it is really, for the most part, the same idea, the same principle that this gentleman had when he did it live on stage. And I like to call it comedy, but I also like to call it logic, as being logical, okay? At least in my mind, and I guess that may not be saying a whole lot sometimes. Who knows? So on that note, we will call this a little bit of comedy logic, okay? And it goes like this, okay? You know, as most of you already know, one thing that I hardly ever talk about on my show is politicians. They just don't do it for me. I'm sorry. I just, you know, almost everybody is always talking and complaining about politicians. It seems that politicians are very ignorant to the needs of the American public. But where does everybody think that politicians come from? They don't just fall from the sky. They don't pass through some secret membrane from another reality. They come from American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, American universities, and they are elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, people. This is what we must have to offer. It's what our system produces. You put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. It does not get any simpler than that. If you have a garbage disposal at home, you know what I am talking about. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you are going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. It does not get any simpler. And I'm going to repeat that because it is worth repeating, and I believe that it is so true. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you are going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. You know, the term limits that they have for politicians and presidents aren't going to do anyone any good. You're just going to end up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe, just maybe, it's not totally the fault of these selfish, ignorant politicians. Maybe someone else is to blame, like the American public. That's right, I said the public. Now there's a nice campaign slogan. The American public is selfish and ignorant. Because if it's just the fault of these politicians, then where are all the bright, educated Americans who are concerned about America and ready to step in, lead the way, and save our nation? You know, give or take a few, we only have some 535 positions to fill. Well, it seems that we don't have too many people willing to take on those jobs. So I've come up with a very easy way to solve this dilemma. On election day, I just don't vote. And I mean that sincerely and honestly. Okay? Two reasons I don't vote. It's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The selfish, ignorant politicians that voters shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean a thing. Think back about the last 10 presidents that we've had, and you will see that what I just said is very, very true. And secondly, I don't vote because if you vote, you have no reason to complain. I know, hold it. But people like to twist that around and say, oh, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But really now, come on, where is the logic in that? I mean, if you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get in the office and screw everything up, then you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. So you have no right to complain. Now I, on the other hand, who did not vote, am in no way responsible for what these people have done, and have every right to complain as loud as I like about the mess that you created and I had nothing to do with. So, you know, knowing that in just a few more months we will have one of those swell presidential elections that most of you like so much, I know you'll enjoy yourselves, and I'm sure that as soon as the election is over, the country will approve of all the votes and everything that was done, and they will approve immediately. Okay, that was a little bit of what I call my comedy logic. And I do believe there is some truth in there. And it's about voting and about politicians. And I really don't care to talk. I actually avoid talking about politicians as much as possible because... It's a long, long story, as most of you go, and you understand what I am talking about. And just so I don't keep anyone waiting here, I do have a caller. Area code 941, you are live on the air.
Michael, that was a great speech. What can I tell you? He hit it right on the nail.
Hey, Robert.
I feel the same. I don't want to vote anymore. You're right. I was trying to be a good citizen, and I'm the. You're right. I'm the blame. I voted those bastards in. Excuse me, but you know, it's my fault, and I take full responsibility. But no more. I don't think I'm going to go to the polls. I cannot even mark anything down. Probably will not. You know, I feel the same way you do, basically. After watching the convention the last 3 days, they didn't lay out a plan. I mean, you know, they didn't tell us what they're going to do. They didn't tell us the truth. They never do. So, what are you going to do? Sit there and twiddle your thumbs and hope for the best, right?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, it's like you got President Obama and you have, Mittens Romney, And, you know, they're both progressives anyway, so what is the difference? What good are they going to do? I mean, what good does it do to focus on a single person at this point in time when we have a much larger entity that is causing dramatic and serious damage to this nation? I mean, what good does it do to focus? What good? We are not going to vote our way out of this. I don't care how many vote. If nobody voted, they could not have an election. Legally,
exactly.
They cannot have an election if nobody votes.
I said that to Ron. How long ago did I say that to Ron? I said that to Ron probably about maybe 2.5 months ago. I said, Ron, I proposed two questions to Ron. I said, what if anybody doesn't pay their taxes or vote at the same time? What would happen? You know, Michael, when this all started, you know, about the unions, like we all talked about, and I basically pinned it down. And I saw this editorial today where collective bargaining and the unions and all, and air traffic controllers, where this all started. And when Reagan retrieved the federal law that was to say that unions cannot strike, teachers cannot strike, and it was federal law that caused it. Well, they could not strike, right? And then Reagan pulled it away, even after the air traffic controllers struck, okay? Reagan pulled it away, and that's when health care was becoming an issue, and the doctors could have struck in 74 when I told them to, after the air traffic controllers tried to strike when they couldn't. That's when it all started, Michael. That's when all the stuff started. So, you know, I mean, from 74, hell, I was 18 years old. I was still stupid. You know, stupid is stupid done, right? I mean, that's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. I feel betrayed. I feel like I have a man. I don't have. Not only that, I feel like I'm mad without a country. I feel so. What's the word I want to use? I can't describe the word that I feel right now. That's how bad I feel.
You feel like you are headed. To becoming a third world nation.
Well, I've already known that to begin with a long time ago. But you know, I wasn't dotting the I's or crossing the T's until it took biostatistics, Michael, to really wake. It was a wake up call. It took biostatistics to really wake me up. And after, you know, biostatistics broadened my horizon, and it may be somewhat a smart guy. I'm not claiming that I don't know it all, and I'm not. But it just made me more commonsensical, you know, to figure things out, and knowing where my money is going, you know. And the only thing that the convention did was they said the exact words that we have been complaining about for the past, what now, 7 or 8 months since I came on the show in July. They finally admitted it, what happened. Gas wages, grocery wages, medical insurance wages. They finally figured that. It took them 4 years to figure that out. You know, that's, and then it comes in. I'm going to make a promise and say I'm going to help your family. Come on, Michael. No one's going to help us but us. You know that as good as well as I do, right?
Absolutely, Robert. You know, to me, you can sum all of this up, really. Okay, all the way from the global elite, Illuminati, whoever you choose to call this, you know, the United Nations, you know, Agenda 21, you know, the ignorant people of America, and there are many, many ignorant people in America, I can tell you, because I live near some of them. And I don't care if they're listening to me or not, okay? You know, I take time to treat people the way that I would like to be treated, okay? And if you're ignorant, you do not do that. I mean, you don't treat people like they're a piece of toilet paper. I'm sorry. You know, you treat them like they, you know, with due respect, okay? What is missing here, Robert, is really, what is missing here is, you know, what the reason, you know, God and Jesus Christ, all of this, it comes down to one word, love. You know, you need to love one another. It does not get any simpler. It's easy to figure out, okay? Because if we had that one tool where everyone loved and helped each other and respected each other, okay, they would have nothing to attack. But when they separate us, okay, and divide us up, and they bring people into the country from different nations, and they cause problems, it makes it that much harder for people to love one another, because then you add another key ingredient called prejudice, which many people have. So that makes it even tougher to have love, Robert.
Sure. Well, I know about prejudice. Believe me. I've been kicked down the road many times because of it. And when I'm on the radio show, at least I still have my freedom of speech to explain what prejudice means, you know. But God Almighty, when I was telling Ron, is you know you're having a bad day when your financial advisor says he's got a concealed weapon to get you carried at all times, number one. And you know that you're having a bad day when your neighbor starts refusing you to look after your dog or whatever after, you know, looking out for each other for 10 years. You know you're having a bad day when just playing people to stop talking to you because of what you have or what you don't have. I mean, it's you know it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, you know, and it's a crying shame because just my first, after a 15-year relationship, you know what, the only friends you have, you're lucky if you can count on your hand how many friends you have. You're lucky. If you have more, than five friends, God bless you. But if you're in these days, if you only have five, you're considered blessed that you can really count on. You know what I'm saying, Michael? I mean,
I absolutely do. I mean, I just moved into a brand new area, okay, and I have to tell you, the majority of the people here they're very rude, they're very crude. And I don't know where they get their mentality from, but, you know, they're very ignorant people. They have, you know, no love for fellow man even. And it's like, you know, it's, I did meet one good Christian friend here that has been very good to me. And I might add, I have been good to him as well. I actually had a spare computer. A desktop computer, and this gentleman was 68 years old, didn't know anything about a computer, never owned a computer, and I gave it to him, and he was so happy, I'll tell you.
Wow.
It just made, you know, but anyway, I would like to welcome, if I may, Robert, Mr. Ron Golden. Thank you so much for joining us, Ron.
Hey, Michael, how you doing? So it sounds like you've corrupted your neighbor then.
Good one, Ron.
Uncle Ron.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I understand the meaning behind what you're saying, and I think there's a lot of truth and a lot of heart in that. But I'll give you an example of why it takes more than love alone. You know, I love my stepbrother like nobody's business. I'd die for him, but I would never give him the keys to my automobile. And that's simply because I know his history. So we can love one another and still not trust one another.
keyword, Ron, trust.
I think we can trust people with some things, but, you know, not
sure.
not everything, but, you know, obviously.
But I think...
And your
I
car...
Think, well, I was going to say, I think the term you used just prior to that is correct, and I think it's the two things together. Truly loving heart, but also respect. Respect for an individual as an individual and respect for their right to choose, even if you think they're choosing wrongly.
Exactly.
And that in and of itself, I think, is a lot of what's missing in society. And I think that is the allure of power, even at a very small level, like a neighborhood, you know, association, a homeowners association or something like that. You give someone the power to manipulate and control any aspect of another person's life, and they'll do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think there are...
Let me step in here for 1 second, please.
Sure.
And we do have another caller, and I apologize for not recognizing the area code, but area code 214, you are live on the air.
I guess that's me.
If your area code 214, who is that?
It's a gunslinger.
Hey, Gun, how you doing, my brother?
Warm to hot in Texas. What's new?
What's on your mind there, sir?
I just popped in. He was talking about something about control. You know, we all know that these people are control freaks. How else do you define them? Besides ignorant, other choice words I can't use. But that's what they do. They control. Everything is about control, which leads to money. Goes hand in hand, don't it? Go ahead.
Absolutely, Doug. You're 100% correct.
Well, I think each and every one of us as human beings has that in our nature, that we have the desire to control others. And every single individual, if we were all honest, we would like to see everyone conform to the world as we see it. Some of us actually feel so strongly about that we'll run for public office and get paid to do it, you know.
Yeah, and I pay, yeah.
Yeah.
So you said a mouthful there. You know, I know that's true because, like I said, I was in law enforcement for almost 3 years when I got out of high school. That went to my head, okay. And I was just a security officer, okay. Commissioned, carried a gun, looked like Rambo, you know, the whole nine yards. So I know how that affects people. Even as a security officer, I mean, you know, I drove around a patrol car with those, you know, pretty lights on it and the radio and the .357 Magnum strapped on, you know, the whole nine yards. And that does go to your head. So what if you're a cop, especially these ex-military people, okay? What does the military do? Mainly do their goal, kill and take orders. I mean, what else is the Army and Marines and all them other people there for? They kill and take orders. So, control. That's what they want. That's what the ruling elite, the New World Order, as I like to call them, that's what they want. Control. Submission. Master-slave relationship. Go ahead.
I agree. You know, and I mean, I think the difference, what Michael was talking about, if I can kind of surmise a little bit, is that, you know, when we look, for those of us that have children, that control mechanism is built in, and we want to control our children's lives and help them make the right choices so that they grow up to be responsible individuals, and it's done out of pure love. It's not done out of hate. Now, granted, there are those crackpots out there that just abuse their children, but by and large, I think as humanity, you know, as a society, we love and nurture our children, and it is that control mechanism that we use to teach them as they grow up. Unfortunately, the mosquito class, as I like to call them, they have that same compulsion, and they believe that everything they're doing is for our own benefit, and we're just like children. We're too ignorant to know any different.
I call them vampires. That's what they do. They fly around at night because evil works within darkness, okay? Why do you think the cops are dressed in dark uniforms? Why do you think these clowns in clowns in robes, as we like to call judges, why do you think they're black? Why do you think attorneys wear black? What is black? It's the opposite of light. It's opposite of good. I mean, that's the way I've always been brought up to believe, so, you know, there's obviously something to it. You know, just like you go into a room full of cockroaches. They're all over the place, but the second you flip the light switch on, they scatter because they can't stand the light. Okay?
Well,
it's just like sunlight, you know.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, I know a lot of police officers, and I know many very good ones, but I've also seen, you know, the other side of that. And so often, you know, when they walk up, they're jumpy, jittery. They're ready to draw down on anything that moves. And my question is, you know, you're the one with the gun and the badge. What the hell are you so afraid of?
That's exactly why, yeah. I mean, like I said, not all law enforcement out there is rotten to the core, okay? There are good
Correct.
Law enforcement people out there. They're wanting to do the right thing. They want to help old ladies that are broke down on the side of the road or direct traffic at a traffic accident, and, you know, and all this good stuff. That's great, okay? Patrol the neighborhoods for crime. But when you go out there and cross the line and you go into revenuing for money, okay, remember, money talks, BS walks, okay, that's where you become a traitor, okay, in my book. You go out there and you sit on the highway with your little radar gun and you nail somebody for 5 miles over the speed limit. Who has that hurt? Or you don't turn your turn signal at a stop sign. Or you just kind of just push through at the stop sign when there's nobody around but the cop. Okay? That is wrong. They should be out patrolling the neighborhoods and stop this revenuing. Well, it's not the person's fault. It's not the cop on the beat's fault. It's their boss's. That's who's pushing them. You go out there and get that ticket, you know. 5 tickets a day will keep the chief away. Okay, you've heard that. I've heard it. You know, we've all heard it. And you don't think that there's ticket quotas? Come on. I mean, you know, I've been in construction for 22 years when I was doing electrical work. It's the same thing. I've seen the union. I've seen the electrical union, IBEW, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. My dad was a member for 52 years. I've seen the knockdown, drag-out fights that they got into. I've seen the corruption. So, you think these people are angels? Of course not. Go ahead.
Well, you know, that brings up a point that I have belabored with many people over the past couple of years, and that is Romans 13. And I'll read it for everyone so that we can understand what I mean. And it's easy to get confused. Romans 13 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." Now, this next part is important to understanding the foregoing too. "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil." What Paul is telling the Romans is not that, you know, God has appointed Caesar to be a ruler over you and persecute you and throw you to the lions and kill you. He's telling you that there's one word they could have put in this that would have changed the meaning for 90% of the people. "Let every soul be subject to the just authorities." And all just authority comes from God. In other words, what he's saying here, rulers are not a terror to good works. If they are true rulers appointed by God, they're not going to be terrorizing their citizens for doing good.
That's basically what that's basically what the Republican convention was all about, right there and there. You know?
Well, that whole thing. Look, and I've said it before. Michael and I have talked about it, and I know Michael doesn't like to talk about politics, but you can't help but talk about it these days because that's just about all there is. You know, our whole life revolves around politics and these idiots that we, as idiots, have elected and put into power. And I've said before that we are to blame. It's our fault because we accept their actions when they lie, cheat, steal, when they're, you know, professed homosexuals, when they're involved in scandals. Well, that's no big deal. I mean, you know, we all have come to expect our politicians to be liars and crooks. And we've gotten exactly what we expected to elect into office.
Ron, I guess my point here is that, you know, where does this really all start from? And it all starts from our children and how we raise our children, okay? Because if we do not raise children properly, I mean, I know that we can't control every action of our children as they grow up, okay? Because, you know, they are individual, you know, people. But if we give them, you know, a good background and good morals and good values and show them, you know, how to make, you know, how to have a good life with family, with friends, with strangers even, and to treat people, you know, the way that you want to be treated, okay? We could start by building a foundation because this country was based on a foundation that I just described. It was based on people. People would go and help. I mean, 20 people would go and help somebody build a log cabin, you know, and they would help each other in whatever they needed to get done, and they did it together. They worked together as, you know, people with morals and values and groups of people with the same type of morals and values, and we need that today, and we have lost it in America so bad that it's really, really unfortunate.
Well, you know, you're right, and I think it comes down to four words, which is do the right thing. It doesn't matter. All the rest doesn't matter. Do the right thing. Or as Ron Paul put it, live by the golden rule. Do unto others. But if you go about being a jerk and you know, kicking over your neighbor's garbage can and acting like a jerk every day, then you really have no room to complain when they start doing it to you. I mean, it's just that simple.
I agree.
Anything good, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's people. It doesn't matter whether it's a building. But no matter what you build something on, whether it's a relationship, whatever, a building, it needs a solid, a good foundation in order to be strong and in order to last.
Well, I agree. And to my mind, you know, as I sit and watch all of this unfold and getting older and learning, you know, how to look at life a little more pragmatically, I see that we've forgotten the lesson that's in the Bible itself. And, you know, the entire Old Testament and much of the New Testament is giving us the groundwork, the foundation for why mankind cannot live by the law. We simply are incapable. No matter how pious and pure we are at heart, we are incapable of keeping the law in every circumstance. We just can't do it. Thank God for His grace and the perfect sacrifice of Christ that we're not held to that standard.
Well, there's no such thing as a utopia either.
That is
true.
Not on this planet.
Not on this planet, no. You know, maybe at the very beginning and Adam and Eve's time, that might have been a pretty perfect area or whatever. I wasn't there. I'm not that old. Okay. But there's no way that could ever happen. It didn't. It went sour then. Okay. It went sour
Correct.
Then. And it's gone downhill ever since.
Yep. You know. As long as man is walking in the flesh, no chance. None.
No chance.
Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Not even one.
No matter how hard you try, you're not going to be like the boss, you know, the one upstairs.
Nope.
You know, you're never going to do that because these idiots out here, especially the New World Order and the ruling elite people, they think they're God.
Well, see, that's exactly the problem that the Pharisees and the Sadducees suffered from. They forgot that they were supposed to be teachers and leaders to assist the children of Israel. And instead, they became rulers and despots, and they used God's law, they twisted it, and used it as a weapon for their own self-aggrandizement.
And we got one in the White House right now.
So, Rob, what you just said, it's just like how I feel every time. I remember how I used to tell you how I feel when I walk out the door?
Sure.
I said, let's see how we could just screw up Robert today.
Well, and I think, you know, if we look around, honest to goodness, if you look around, even many people that consider themselves to be Christians, I see, as I walk around and deal with people every day, regardless of what they profess with their mouth, they still reject the basic principle, and that is that you or I, in and of ourselves, can't do it. We're not capable. Period.
Of following the Ten Commandments?
Of following even one of God's laws.
So you're saying that we're all guilty of breaking them?
You betcha. Look at the example. I mean, seriously, let's take the example. Okay, if we see the progression in the Bible, all right, let's go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. How many laws were there?
615.
No. In the garden with Adam and Eve, there was one.
One.
Don't mess with the fruit from that tree right over there. Everything else is, go for it. They couldn't keep not even one law. And neither can you and neither can I. No matter how much we want to say that we can't do it. It's not within us. That capability is not there. And I promise you, everyone listening to the sound of my voice, including myself, violates those laws on a daily basis. And that was the problem that the Israelites couldn't get through their thick heads. Why do you think?
Rob.
Yes.
We have another caller in here that I need to get in. But as you know, I am a music lover. And so we are just a little over halfway through our program here of 90 minutes, and I'm going to throw in a short song here. Please stay with me, everybody, and you will find out who our very, very special guest caller is. They are definitely worth waiting for right after this. We'll be back in a little over 3 minutes. Please enjoy this.
Take a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older. And I must climb.
For that slip of the tongue, I'm sorry. Miss Linda Sills, good evening. How are you?
Fine. Can you hear me?
You betcha.
Okay, because I didn't hear the little blip thing. Anyway, whoever's in the chat room and whoever's still on the line, hello, and Robert and Ron and if Gunny's still there. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here, and I went out early this morning, and I was sweating like a poor little pig because I was canvassing a neighborhood in 82 degree heat trying to get my council people reelected, etc. And it's funny because when I was at the headquarters of our mayor here in Oceanside, he's going up for reelection. I'm surrounded by different people of different ilks in the political realm. And it's, you know, when we talk about keeping the law and doing the golden rule, it's a tough one, but I'm learning. I'm getting better. So I just, I don't get into it with them on the heavy stuff because we're just dealing with our council members. So it's like I say, you know, there's no changing certain people's minds, and I'm not a total control freak. They're not going to change. So, you know, it's bizarre.
There's a limited number of people who have an open mind, Linda, who are willing to listen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's both sides of the aisle, all stripes, every creed. I mean, please. Yeah, you're going to, especially when you're involved like I am with all these Tea Partiers and, different people vetting candidates and endorsing candidates and canvassing neighborhoods. Yeah, it's, wow. So, no wonder we have wars. We can't even get along with people we're trying to work with. It's crazy. But I'm getting better. I think the more I educate myself and the more I look to the Lord and try to do the right thing, that's my answer to, you know, what I need to be doing. And we're all works in progress. We are not going to get those Ten Commandments right, no matter how hard we try, even though we do try. So that's all we can do is keep trying to do the Lord's will and not our own. And it's not easy because we're human, and it's human nature to want to control others. So you just have to step back, you know, and realize that we are not the ones who have the final say. He does. Our Lord does. So, anyway, go ahead.
That is so true, you know, what you say, Linda. And, you know, we do, you know, our radio programs all the people that I have here, you and Ron and whoever else I missed that does a radio show. We do them, you know, in trying to, I don't think so much to change people, but just to get them to try and understand, you know, what the truth is and what is really going on around us, because the day is coming when these people,
mm-hmm.
Our neighbors and our friends are going to be, you know, calling and crying for help, and they're not going to understand or know what it has
right.
really happened to them.
Right.
And I think a lot more people, Linda, are beginning to understand,
yeah.
but they don't know what to do about it is the problem.
Right. And the other thing is, you know, we've talked about the financial collapse is coming. I mean, look what's going on in our own country. Forget about Europe, just QE3 and all the rest of these clowns at Bernanke and the stupid Federal Reserve. And I'm still trying to educate myself on the monetary system, and it's a long haul because I've got many books to go through to do that. But the people like ourselves, like we've got our food storage, we understand what's going to happen, we're trying to prepare, and we must prepare spiritually and mentally and emotionally, because that's going to be the key right there. You have got to stay calm. You have got to get that golden rule inside of you and figure it out, you know, and that's why I pray. Not only do I pray for my neighborhood, my community, my family, myself, you know, I pray for those who are on the verge of going to meet their maker or who have already passed. And I always say, oh, God, I hope that they knew your son and know of him and took him as their savior. You know, these are things that are important, because if we don't say those prayers, then I think we're hypocrites in one sense. I don't know if you agree with that, but.
I can relate to where you're coming from, Linda, because you know why? I beat the smart meter.
Yay!
I tell you why I beat it. I bought Florida
the
Power
towel.
And Light yesterday. I the towel too, but I called Florida Power and Light, you know, to change my email to rscapital11@comcast.net. So that's where you, if you want to email me, I'm not at verizon.net anymore. I'm at comcast.net.
Okay. Awesome.
But be it as it may, Linda, I called Florida Power and Light to change my email address, and I explained to them what those guys said to me. You know,
right.
And she goes, We already understood your letter, and the reason why you can keep your old meter is because I have surge protection.
The surge protection
protected me from getting the smart meter. Now,
that in your Fourth Amendment rights too. Oh man, these guys are crazy.
I still think it was the towel.
You still think that? I said I was in a towel and my tennis shoes.
Oh,
and
my God,
I played a part as a psychotic. And I think I got the message very, very, very well across that I was.
Well, you just keep fighting. Yeah.
Yeah, well, everybody,
right.
everybody on my street now has smart meters but me. I'm the only one.
Did you tell them that they should try to opt out as well?
I told them, and they didn't listen to me. No, they did not listen to me. So I have an old lady across the street who, you know, is like a mother figure to me, and she's such a nice person, and she really didn't need this smart meter, because she can't hardly breathe right now as we speak. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's going to be so many people, you know, just already, you know, here you got these old ladies that are 80 years old, 90 years old, 85 years old, cutting their lawn still. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
so, You don't know how long they're going to live because of these swamp beaters, but they didn't listen. Did they listen to me? No, no one listened to me. Nobody.
I know. I got it
so,
right in my own family. I know. It's crazy. I gave up. I just gave up. But I'm still fighting it into 21. Oh,
well,
yeah,
you have to.
I'm not even just at the very tip of the iceberg of getting started telling my city council people whom I'm canvassing for and helping them get reelected, et cetera. Boy, are they going to owe me big. And I should remind them of that.
Linda, what did I hear a couple of days ago? It was on Fox News. It went in and out of my ears so quickly that I really didn't catch it. I wasn't quite sure if I got it or not. And if I heard it correctly, please correct me. But I thought I heard that Agenda 21 doesn't have anything to do with the Republicans or the Democrats, period. Is that true?
I have to find out what the platform actually says and what they've really adopted, because I heard that they did adopt it. That they were going to
they did
reject.
As far yeah
go ahead
no they did adopt as part of the platform a rejection of Agenda 21, and they also adopted as part of the platform a promise to form a committee to look at a gold standard. Returning to a gold standard. They also agreed to auditing the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
So I think Ron Paul has had a tremendous impact.
Yes. And all of his followers have too. I just don't know what the future of the Republican Party is.
I was going to say, however, given the way they conducted themselves in the convention,
right.
Whether or not anything becomes of those promises is a whole nother
story
entirely.
Oh, my God. I know.
You know, let us not forget that the Republican Party has, as its official platform, limited government, more local control, less government spending, and, boy, they've really lived up to that, haven't they?
Sure.
So, Ron?
Yeah, not at all. Go ahead,
Ron. Yes. Well, do you think Ron Paul might have had a little something to do with Clint Eastwood's stand-up comic routine, because he kind of emulated that I should be a stand-up comic, I should be the dummy?
No, I think Clint Eastwood did what I think Ron Paul should have done, but there again, Mr. Paul has an incredible amount of integrity. Ron Paul turned down an offer for a speaking spot during the convention because there were two stipulations in order for him to have that slot. Number one, his every word had to be vetted by the Romney campaign, and he would have to, without any reservation, completely endorse Mitt Romney.
He wasn't
willing to do either of those things. I think what Clint Eastwood did was took his canned speech that they approved and tossed it in the can as he walked out on the stage. And if you listen to what he said, he was the only individual to stand on that stage throughout the entire convention and bring an anti-war message of any stripe.
Right.
Okay. You guys forced me to do this, okay? Remember, okay? Talking politics on my show, you forced me to do it. And, you know, I've been away from my show for so long that I don't think, you know, I may not be on a list anymore. You know that list? Well, I got to make sure that I'm on that list, so I got to dedicate this next 2 minutes. This next 2 minutes, I'm dedicated to the politicians. Oh, sorry, wrong song. One more time.
Well, here I sit a high, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more. Just sitting around drinking with the rest of the guys. Six rounds bought and I bought five. Spent the groceries and half the rent. Like $14 having 27 cents. So dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more. They say roses are red and violets are purple, and sugar's sweet and so is maple syrup. And I'm the seventh out of seven sons. My pappy was a pistol, I'm a son of a gun. I said, dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Roger Miller. Gotta love Roger there. You know, the good old days. And, you know, when we had a country, you know. So anybody who's willing to talk about anything besides politics, go ahead.
Yeah, we're so close to the election. That's what's on everybody's minds. But, you know,
yeah, but
and then like a...
Linda, it's still not worth, they are not worth talking about. They are bought for. They are paid for. Okay? They are corrupt. They are ignorant. I mean, they're not
true.
Worth the time to talk about even. Think about it. Come on.
Well, you're right. I mean, God knows what our answer is, but it isn't them. We have to look to ourselves to be our own leaders because we have to, it's the only way to take back our power. Stop handling
over. I would rather spend, you know, my days helping someone and showing somebody who the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is rather than talking about who you should vote for.
I think, guys, if I could for a moment, I think we need to chip in, and I want to get Robert a pair of cowboy boots.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And I want... Well, now, hang on. This is requires more than cowboy boots. And every day, Robert, I want you to don your cowboy boots, your bath towel, and a yarmulke and go out and get your mail.
You are so funny.
Especially when the
they will definitely think you're nuts.
Hey, Ron, that is what you call a classic act. That would be perfect.
And a holster. You know, you get a holster too, and a six shooter in there.
So what do I put the towel first on, right? Then I put the holster on with a six shooter.
Absolutely, and then, cowboy boots and a yarmulke. Now I don't know if we can come up with a Yiddish name for a Jewish gunslinger, you know, but that.
Don't you call him? Don't you call him?
You get this that tattoo on your arm.
You know, my father used to call me when I was a little boy. He used to call me Boychuk. Boychuk. B-O-Y-C, Boychuk. B-O-Y-C-H-U-C-K, Boychuk. Hey, Boychuk. That's what my father used to call me. That means a good boy. Little does
that's
he know. That's too funny. I should go get the mail that way too, at the post office.
You know, you could. Now, I hate to delve into politics, but it'd make a great campaign poster.
that's really funny. But I don't think they make cowboy boots in size 7, do they?
You know, my grandson's got some. I'm sure they'd fit.
put them in the box, and I'll give you a couple bucks for them.
You might have to trim down the uppers a little bit so they don't chafe your bottom. But
you know, but you know, Ron, you know that this is pretty sad. I mean, I should be. I have never ever worn a cap. Bill Strong will probably will not even speak to me no more. I've never worn a cowboy boots in all my life. I don't even know. I mean, wouldn't even know how they would fit. That's the truth.
Oh, well.
I guess I need to start wearing cowboy boots now.
Absolutely, but only with the time.
Oh. Now, what kind of belt buckle do I get? What kind of a belt should I use with the buckle?
Well, see, if you've got the holster with a six shooter, then you really don't need a belt.
I'm right, but you gotta at least do the alteration just to make it look good, right?
Well, now you could get like a cowboy belt buckle for the towel.
That's a class act. I mean, they'll probably arrest me.
Oh God!
What would be the charge, Ron? If I did that?
Oh man, public indecency or something.
if you go into the post office, it's going to be a lot more severe. I promise you.
That's funny. That's too funny. I have to consider it. Maybe I'll do that for, you know what? Halloween's coming up. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
And, you know, just a cap gun would work because that would really solidify the insanity defense. You know, one of those chrome plastic with the pearl handle. I mean, dude, I've got a visual that it's just killing me.
You know, guys, this is the honest to God's truth. Since I've been on the show, y'all giving me such most heavy, giving me sound advice on everything what to do, and it's just like when I talk to these docs, when I talk to these lawyers, when I talk to these accountants, whatnot. And they look like, well, where'd you cut that up? Where'd you get that information from? And I won't say where I received my information. You guys are my secret weapon.
you tell them, Robert, that you paid huge sums of money from politicians for this information.
Okay. I can tell them that, but I won't leak out where I got it from, that's for sure, because every bit of information that I received from y'all has saved my you-know-what, and that's the honest to God's truth.
Well, that's great, Robert. I'm glad we could help.
Well, it's the truth, because it's common sense advice. That's all we have in here is common sense, basically,
We're trying.
Robert...
Yes, sir.
Well, I was just thinking, and I probably shouldn't do that, but being that you're in South Florida, perhaps a pair of Speedos and some chaps would be appropriate rather than a towel.
Oh my God.
should I go and shake Senator Rubio's hand with that too?
Absolutely.
Oh man, that's funny.
Oh, Lord.
I've lost for words on that one.
That would, you know, that would almost be worth a trip to the Carolinas for the Democrat National Convention.
Then he could be the poster boy for the latest gay bar, strip bar, and
now,
we could name it Suspicious Packages.
Although I think if you were going to the DNC, it would probably be more appropriate to put the towel on your head and tote a machete in your Speedos.
Wow. Well, you know, I mean, what did he say about what was the stickle about the gays and the lesbians? I can't get it went so quickly that Obama approved gay marriage or something like that. Or am I right or wrong about that?
Wasn't this a few months ago when he said he was all for gay marriage?
Yeah,
he
came out in approval of it, and he's gotten quite a backlash from the black community. You know, a good number of the black community are very devout Baptists or Christians.
Right.
he's been advertising it during his political stumps. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is why they don't recognize one another at the liquor store.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my soul. God, you bring it.
See, Baptists never recognize each other at the liquor store. You know that, right?
I know where you're coming from, man. I know where I'm going to, like, almost like a book now. I have your stick down, Ron Golden.
Well, you know, I have worked for years on my black friend to give me some white jokes. But, you know, it's interesting to me that they don't think in those terms. That they, you know, the majority, they really don't think that way.
I mean, if I gave you, I probably wouldn't be able to tell a black joke on the radio show, right?
A white joke?
Or a black joke mixed at the same time.
Well, yeah, I mean, the black jokes have been around for decades, but it's the ones that nobody, you know, the white jokes, those are the ones I'm looking for. I know all the other ones.
I know. There's not too many white. I don't think there are too many white jokes, though, Ron. I mean, white jokes really aren't.
You know, I did a brief stint with a company. I was looking for a job, looking to go back to work a few years back, and just really was burned out on the automotive industry. And I went and answered an ad for some kind of sales job. Little did I know what it entailed, but I figured what the heck, I'd hang out for a day just to see. And it was some kind of, you know, do everything car cleaning polish thing in a can. And they sent us out to these gas stations where we would have to accost people at the pump and just approach them about, the product. And what I found, or what I learned, was very telling. Every white person I approached would just kind of turn away, and they didn't even want to talk to you. They didn't even want to acknowledge that you existed. Every black person that I approached was very polite, and if they weren't interested, they just said, I can't really afford it right now or whatever. But the majority of them listened to everything I had to say. Very politely,
wow.
Very intently. They were very courteous. Even guys that, you know, at first look, you'd be like, man, I don't even want to go talk to that guy. But they were always very polite and courteous. That really taught me a lot, that experience.
Amazing.
Hey, Gunslinger, are you still out there or are you just listening?
You talking to Gunslinger or Robert?
I'm talking to Gunslinger.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Are you there, Gun?
Yeah, I'm here. Audio.
Okay. Well, before I play my closing song, we have like 5 minutes. So if you have. Like 1 minute here, if you have something on your mind that you would like to say, sir, you go right ahead and do it. Now is the time.
Well, you know, it's just a whole stupid system that's going on today. But I do recommend seeing Obama 2016. if that would open your eyes up a little bit. It's in the theater. I went and seen it a few days ago.
Seen it.
Very
yeah,
interesting.
Good. Yeah, good one.
Yeah, I am surprised that the powers that be would even let that out because, you know, they want to keep his history as quiet as possible. He's a communist. He's a socialist. He's a pig. Okay? And better not be back in there, you know, in this upcoming election because there will be civil war in this country. Okay? A Texas judge here in the panhandle has already said if he gets back in, there's going to be civil war in this country. Now, a judge is saying this?
Yeah.
What do they know that they're not telling? Okay? So, you know, that's about all I got to add at the moment. I know you're running out of time.
Okay, who would like to go next?
Michael?
I'll go.
Okay, give her.
Okay, guys, thanks for letting me join this great confab. Loved the music, loved hearing Michael back again, and it was great to talk with Robert and laugh a little bit because it's always fun. Poor guy, he's always getting made fun of. But just God bless this country, God bless everybody, and I'll see you in the chat room. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling, Linda.
Michael, welcome back, sir. It's good to have you back. And sorry that we capitalized on the majority of your time to discuss your favorite topic. But it is very good to hear you back on the radio, sir. And just welcome back. God bless you, everybody.
Thank you so much, Ron.
Mr. Biotic?
Yeah.
Michael?
Yes.
I just wanted to say, I called it to say I wanted to call, I wanted to call it to welcome you back on your first show after your moving matters and hope you're safe and sound and your family's safe and hope everything's going well for you.
Yeah, yes, it is.
So anytime you want to chat privately, you have my number still, don't you?
Yes, I do, and I apologize. I know I said I was going to do a show with you about the pharmaceutical industry, and we will still do that in the future, just not on this first show. I just needed a break to have some fun and just call in, and so I hope that everybody can understand that this show just needed a little bit of fun in it.
Absolutely, Michael, and thanks again for your advice medically and commonsensically too. Okay, and I shall talk to you soon. It was and as always, it was a great show.
Thank you so much, Robert.
All right, you take care and God bless.
Okay, did I leave out anyone?
I don't think so. I think everybody should have their last word and testament. I'm giving it to you.
Okay, good, because I got a 4-minute closing song that I always play. That, and if you listen to the words, they fit right into what is going on right now. But I want to make sure everybody remembers to, you know, keep Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, at the forefront of your life, because there is no greater advocate that you can have in anything and everything that you do within your life. When you put God first, He will put you first. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining me, and we will see you next week again right here on the Patriot Radio Family Network. God bless. Take care. And whatever you do, don't ever dream it's over.
Traveling with me. Head down, hey.